I was around 11 or 12 years old when this happened. It was a normal school day. The only thing different from the other days was that I was taking the bus alone to school. Everything went normal. I got prepared, then went to the bus station. After some time, I realized I arrived a little bit too early, so I sat and waited. After some time, I saw a car stopping next to me. The driver exited the car. It was a man. He was around 40 years old. He wasn't very tall, but I remember thinking that he was a pretty big man. The man told me to get into his car. He would drive me wherever I wanted to go. I hopped in. I regretted this decision, but at the time, I was very naive. I knew nothing about crimes, kidnappings, and things like this, because if I did, I would never have decided to go with him. But I was little, and it didn't even cross my mind that he might have bad intentions. The drive was pretty short, around 7 minutes, from the bus station and to my school. Most of it went smoothly. He asked me my name, my age, and obviously where I was going. No huge red flags at the moment. It seemed like he was just a friendly man who wanted to help. But then he started asking me personal questions. If I had a boyfriend. If I had a sexual life. Keep in mind I was either 11 or 12 years old, and it was obvious. Also, I've already told him my age. I think this is the moment when I realized something was very off. I was looking out the window in the meantime, as I was answering his questions, but when he asked me about my sexual life, it really did creep me out. I looked at him. I was shocked when I realized he was fully exposed. I started crying. He said, "Let's go to the forest for a little bit." I don't recall the exact words, but I'm 100% sure that he wanted to take me to the forest that was located near the school. At this point, I'm now sobbing because I realized I was powerless and that he could easily drive me with him to the forest, and I knew what he wanted to do there. Even at that age, and being as naive as I was, I still realized what his intentions were, and I knew that I couldn't do anything to stop him. We were still driving. I wanted to call the police. I think I even told him that. We were getting closer to the destination. We finally passed my school, though. I legitimately thought that he was going to take me to the forest. I thought he was going to assault me and do other horrible things. But to my surprise, he stopped the car on the side of the road, a little bit further than my school, probably so that no one else sees me get out of a stranger's car. He told me that we had arrived. I remember jumping out and running to the nearest market so I could calm myself down before going to school. I was so shocked and scared that it didn't even cross my mind that I should have gotten his license plate or take a photo of it or memorize it, anything. I'm 16 now and I haven't told anyone this story, not even my parents. I still think about this event sometimes. I'm pretty scared to stay near unknown men. I'm very aware of my surroundings, though. I know that what I did was foolish and reckless, but in the end, I was a 12-year-old girl that grew up sheltered. So I was blind to see the danger when it appeared. So to that creepy man that tried to probably kidnap me and do God knows what with me in the forest, I don't know what made you change your mind that day and allow me to continue my childhood, but I really wish we never meet again, because this time I'll be able to defend myself if I need to. In 2016, I was 19 going on 20 in my hometown in Virginia. My town had 3 separate colleges. I lived in the middle of town, in crappy college housing with no security anywhere. I worked in the Schmall Mart, a place with the smiley bags, as a cashier and schooled part-time. College kids and older men came in and flirted, and as a skinny blonde blue-eyed girl, I was used to it, so it rarely made me nervous. My boyfriend at the time had cheated on me, and we broke up, so I dyed my hair bright red as some kind of response, and that seemed to be when the shit hit the fan. I worked more shifts since I didn't have to accommodate anyone else's time. I had recently moved out of my parents, so I did whatever I wanted. I was just trying to move forward from this guy. During these continuous shifts, a guy from Kentucky came in multiple times, casually cashing his work check and buying alcohol. At first, he would discuss his kids back home. He sends money to them. He was trying to make things work. Then, it was complimenting me, trying to ask about me, which I politely would decline or excuse myself if I could. One night I was stocking shelves in an aisle that, unfortunately, wasn't fully seen by the cameras, and Kentucky guy walked up. It was Easter weekend. He was asking all about my weekend, which I had just worked and said that that was it. Then questions about my family came. What I did in my free time, where I lived, etc. I again ignored them and politely said that I needed to get back to work, quickly walking with my cart to customer service. Once there, I started telling security, and they started walking the females out at night and told me to get pepper spray. I had a supervisor named M, who was a small, natural, copper redhead with blue eyes and a sweet smile. She and I were friends, and we would talk about any odd customers, as one does. I had a guy who had come in multiple times, the first time buying alcohol and asking if he looked as old as his license stated. Sure, okay, dude. Then he complimented my red hair, how it went perfectly with my eyes, then walked away. I noted that he was bald and had tattoos, but I couldn't remember his name even if I had just seen his ID. But that was enough to remember him if he came in again. A week went by, and M came in, saying that she was working and a bald guy came up asking for me by name. Thanks a lot, name tags. She had no idea who it was and shrugged it off, figuring that it was someone that knew my dad. Another few days and M ran into him at the mall while with her boyfriend. He said hello, complimented her, and walked away. Again, no name, just bald man. I was working a normal afternoon shift and was at customer service, clocking out for break, when I hear M behind me saying, "That's the guy." To which I heard a strong, dark, and menacing response of, "What guy?" I turned around to the man that I remembered to take notice of, bald with tattoos. Just something didn't sit right with me that first interaction. And now this. M calmly said, "I just mentioned that you were looking for her, but you were unable to catch her. We didn't have a name for you." To this, he smiled and nodded, and I said that I had to go to the back and left. After I had been cornered by the Kentucky guy and bald guy's reaction, security was made aware and kept an eye on things. A few days went by, and my store manager mentioned that a family friend came up to him and asked my age, if I was single, etc. He politely said that that wasn't his info to share and informed me later that day, saying their reason for asking was that they had a friend who had taken notice of me and was interested. Probably 2 days later, I had a random message pop up on Facebook. "Joe Black would like to connect." Joe? I couldn't remember a Joe. Maybe we went to school together? I clicked on the message and suddenly, the bald guy had a name. "Hey, this is Sebastian. That guy you were talking to M about. When's your next shift? I have a question for you." Immediately, panic filled my body, and I went to the profile to confirm. The profile had been made a few days earlier, no photos, no friends. I contacted M immediately and was informed to notify the store supervisor. We were so confused as to why Sebastian was using a fake account, especially since He just said his name right off the bat. Weird. I went to work, and during a slow time, I saw Kentucky guy coming through the store, headed for me. I couldn't just leave my register, as I was on the smoke aisle, and I had to stay near the products. So I started punching codes in to use the bathroom, aka leave. No one was coming, and Kentucky was marching up fast. As he got closer, I noticed he had scratches on his neck, his face, and a black eye, with scraped knuckles. Not good. He got in front of me and called me a fucking bitch, then spat towards me before walking off. And I didn't see him after this. Joe or Sebastian came in that night, asking how I was doing, if I was single, what I was doing that weekend, etc. I kept it short and only answered how I was. He commented on my lack of talking and just said, "I'm sure it's been a really long day." I really couldn't reply because all I could look at was his bruised knuckles and the scratches up his arms and neck. When he noticed my shock, he said, "You're welcome," then walked away. Surely this man, who I had barely had 2 hours of communication with, had nothing to do with Kentucky, right? With the scratches and the bruised knuckles? I told my boss, and they let security know as they called around to other stores about quote-unquote Joe. I left for the afternoon, back to my apartment to relax until I had to babysit that night. It was about 6, and I was driving to the family's house when I got a call from the store security asking where I was and if I were alone. I told them that I was heading to babysit, wondering why they would call. He blurted out, "Sebastian is a registered sex offender, a dangerous one who hasn't been out of jail very long. You really shouldn't be alone right now." I froze and processed this information and the fact that I'd be at this house in the country alone for probably 4 hours. I decided to suck it up and would inform the parents for them to make their own decision. They let me keep the gig. Broke college kid life, I guess. They told me where I could get protection if I needed, then went out. Immediately after I got the kids down, I looked up this man who was just a customer, but now a nightmare. Trigger warning. His rap sheet was nauseating. The assault of a minor, multiple battery charges, and multiple fraud charges. He'd only been out for about 4 months after serving less than half of his sentence. He was out for good behavior. I felt sick. This man clearly had no morals or boundaries and wouldn't stop if he had the opportunity to get me alone. I called my roommates and informed them to stay at their friends or boyfriends just in case. And I called my friend to stay the night and make him aware of the situation. Then I called my other supervisor, who was a friend, and told her the entire thing. She made her boyfriend drive to my location. The parents okayed it, and then they followed me to my friend's so I didn't have to handle the back roads alone. Once at my friend's, he encouraged me to go to the magistrate for a restraining order. This guy was registered, clearly had bad intentions, so it would be easy. Wrong. After being there until 2, they turned us away because there was no proof that he did anything wrong. It didn't matter what his past was. The next day, I was wonderful, if you could sense the sarcasm. It was a Sunday where I had to go to church, then head into work for an afternoon shift. I was tired and felt sick from everything and decided that I finally had to tell my dad. He grabbed a state officer in the church and they started talking. He saw his charges and the messages and then told me that he would call his parole officer as using social media was a parole violation. Bingo. The officer informed me that he would handle it and would call me with updates. It was almost time for me to leave for work as we talked through lunch and I had started packing up. As I did so, I saw the officer pull my dad aside and I heard him say, "Keep her close and the guns loaded. This guy is seriously not safe. Chances are he knows where she lives, and he knows where you live. Great. Before I left, my parents asked me not to go into work for the day, just to come home for the week until things blew over. Again, broke college kid who doesn't ask for handouts. I gotta work. They dropped it and said to come straight to their place after I got off. It was closer. They had firepower, and it was a small town. Plus, my dad said that he had my favorite meal waiting. Sold. I was halfway through my shift again on the tobacco aisle, so no chance of escape. I had already been told by management to code them if Sebastian came anywhere near me during my work shift, and they would hop on register for me so I could leave while the store manager told him to leave. But of course, the store management is very slow. I had my back turned when I heard my name being said by a male's voice. I knew it was him by the way every hair on my body stood up. My heart started pounding as I turned to face the guy. Fuck, I thought. I should have stayed home. I approached the register from the wall of products and asked how I could help him as I logged into my screen as fast as possible and kept pounding the code for 911, get me the fuck out of here. But no one was even in sight. He came around to the side that had a sign that said, "Please stand back," to get as close as possible. "Where have you been? I've been looking for you. You were out a lot last week." He was smiling like he was asking a friend, but his eyes were this creepy gray that seemed completely empty. He was obviously tracking my schedule, so what else was he tracking? I kept hitting codes over and over. "Where are they?" He noticed my panicked look and barked, "Why are you looking over there?" Then he softened. "Oh, do you need me to buy something to talk to you? Okay, I can do that." Throwing a lighter, some gum, and a candy bar on the belt. I quickly scan and say his total. He puts more on the belt and says, "I've been waiting to ask you this question." Before he could finish, my main man's supervisor came over saying, "Damn, you didn't have to hit the code so many times." He was cut off when Sebastian turned around with a cold look on his face. My main supervisor then told me to go before I even said a word. Then I ran to the manager's office that double bolted from the inside. I heard Sebastian huffing and saying that he was just talking to me as my supervisor finished the transaction, and Sebastian stormed off, heading into the back of the store, not leaving. The store had four managers, three in that day. I was a female in the office watching this guy on the screens while she called the cops and I called M. I thought that she was coming in around that time and she needed to know, but luckily, she had called out. Gut feeling, I guess. 30 minutes went by, and there was this knock. It was the police. They wanted to talk to me. As we talked, my parents walked up after having just finished shopping. They had been walking around the store with him there. My blood boiled. There wasn't fear, just anger and hatred for this shit human. My boss has said that he'd immediately hopped on his phone and started talking to someone and looking around. One of them approached him and told him to leave or cops would assist him, and he yelled that there was nothing wrong with saying hi to a girl. Then he left while on the phone and sped out of the lot. My employers tried to get me to finish my shift. I quit a month later, but my dad was like, "No, we have a police report, so off to the magistrate we go." We acquired the restraining order the second time around, and they informed me that he would be notified within 24 hours. Great. Now, home to study because I forgot, and all of the drama that my math final is tomorrow. Perfect. 10 minutes into studying, I get a call from a local number. I answer with my dad close in case it's something that I need to record or write. It's a woman that asks if it's me, introduces herself as this guy's parole officer, and asks me to walk her through everything. For the fourth time that day, I spill everything. She thanks me, tells me to stay with people at all times. and ends the call with, "He's our first stop tomorrow morning at Roundup." Monday morning, it's final time, and I have to take an escort to class. After the final, I went to my parents to nap before work. I'm still nervous, but it'll work out. I'm woken up by my phone buzzing from an unknown local number. I answer. It's my neighbor, who's a parole officer. I forgot. He informed me that Sebastian was behind bars, a restraining order is in place, and I'm okay. He then said, "Do come by sometime because I want to talk more in depth." I made plans to go there the next day when I had time off. There, I learned he was legitimately stalking me. Photos of me at places, my apartment building, me at work, Google searches of me, Google searches of my parents, pictures of my parents' home. He was also breaking another no-no of researching his previous victims. A child he had hurt over many years, who finally got justice when older. A beautiful redhead, so I was told. This conversation was enlightening to my safety habits. I only had pepper spray after I ran into Kentucky guy, not paying attention to my surroundings, etc. But I learned, and now I can't turn off the hypervigilance even in my sleep. Sebastian unfortunately only got 3 more years and was out in 2019. But I had moved states by then. I doubt he'll follow me over state lines. I still have nightmares about him, though. He's actually chasing me in them. I worried about my family until they left the area, but I'm a lot better at reading creeps now. So to Mr. Gross, I think that's a fitting name, let's not ever meet again. I grew up in a small mining town on the Continental Divide of Montana. I was 17 years old. It was September and my friends and I had been invited to a late night party after the bars closed. We arrived at the party and there was a small crowd of drunken people outside waiting for the owner of the house to arrive and open the door. Since we weren't able to drink at the bar, we had a backpack full of beers in our car. I grabbed the backpack, and we joined the crowd of people. After 10 minutes went by, I began to get nervous that the police were going to show up. I begged my friends to leave, but they wanted to stay. I lived about 2 miles away and decided that I was going to walk home. I started my trek, and after getting a few blocks, it became pretty foggy. I came through the part of town that had an abandoned motel with boarded up windows that the homeless were known for squatting in. As I got closer, I could see someone pacing in the old parking lot. It was close to 3 a.m. at this point, so I crossed the street to avoid the person. I saw them notice me, then cross the street towards me. It was a man. He said, "Hey, how's it going?" Feeling nervous and not wanting to let on that I was walking home alone, I said, "Great. Just walking up here to meet my friends." He said, "Cool." I offered him a beer, hoping that that would motivate him to be on his way. He accepted the beer, but continued to follow me. The fog got thicker. I was still well over a mile from home. He asked where my friends were. I started to get scared. I saw a car coming and said, "They're driving and they're going to pick me up here on the street. I bet that's them right now." I tried to wave the car down so I could ask for help. The car didn't stop. I nervously said, "They must not have seen me because of the fog. They'll circle back." We walked another block. Then another. No cars came. The man then said something that truly rattled me. "I don't think anyone's going to come and get you." I tried to play it off. "They're coming any second." Then he said, I bet I could take you in this alley right here, and no one would ever know. At this moment, I knew that I was in trouble. I knew that two blocks ahead, there was a gas station that was open 24 hours, though. All of a sudden, a police car turned the corner and came up the street towards us. I looked at him. He grabbed the handle at the top of my backpack and said, "Don't." I froze as the police car passed and disappeared into the fog. He then put his other hand on the bottom of my bag and pushed me toward the dark alley. In an instant, I slipped my arms out of my backpack and started running. I could hear the bottles crash inside of the backpack as it dropped. He began to chase me. I ran with everything that I had towards the dim lights of the gas station in the fog. I could hear his screams and his footsteps close behind. I lunged into the front door of the gas station, then ran to the single bathroom, turning the deadbolt just in time for him to reach the handle. Banging and screaming, "I'm going to fucking kill you, you bitch." I sat shaking, crying, saying, "I made it," to myself over and over again as I heard the store clerk intervene and tell him to leave. After what felt like an eternity, there was a soft knock at the door and a voice saying, "Are you okay?" I opened the door and asked if he was gone. The clerk said yes and commented on how crazy he was. He offered to call the police. Afraid of getting in trouble, I declined and asked to use the phone to call my friends for a ride. While I waited for them, I wondered what would have happened if I hadn't brought my backpack. To the lowlife that tried to hurt me, let's not meet again. Thanks for listening to this week's extended ad-free version of Let's Not Meet, a True Horror Podcast. Hope you Uber creeps enjoyed that old-time radio presentation this week. Trying to catch up on those and working on another Hey Y'all for you guys. I know you enjoy those. Just been so busy working on both podcasts and preparing for the TV show. The hardest part has been selecting stories that we're going to be able to do with our budget. I don't even know what our budget's going to be. I don't know if we're even going to raise any money. Who fucking knows? But in any case, this is the hardest part, because we can't do all the ones we want to do, the ones we really want to do, the heavy hitters. That will have to wait for if we can get this show picked up and funded by a network or a streaming service online. That's the next hard part. But we're also dealing with getting signatures from people, because we have to have people sign off for this stuff since it's TV. I don't know. It's a new world for me. I don't know anything about it. I'm just along for the ride. One cool thing is I'm scoring the whole show, so I get to do all of the music and sound effects and everything for the series. It's going to be fun. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode. Thanks for all your support. This week you have heard My True Horror Story by Lay Excess Stories, Mr. Gross by SC, and finally, My Backpack Saved Me by K. All the stories you've heard this week were narrated and produced with the permission of their respective authors. Let's Not Meet, a True Horror Podcast is not associated with Reddit or any other message boards online. If you have a story to share, send it to letsnotmeetstories@gmail.com. That's gonna do it. I'll see you guys next week. Thanks for all your support. Bye-bye. Stay safe.